With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Well, the draft is history. The schedule release is a little less than 2 weeks away. That's the next big thing we're looking forward
to.
That
it is, Carm. Let's
take a look at that schedule release, man. See what kind of positive or negative rest edge the Bears have. What are the fun trips? You know, which trips are going to be the good ones? We want to go to London, obviously, for Bears, and we think it'll be Jags, but who knows?
Yeah, we'd be guessing, because the Jags are going to spend 2 weeks out there.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, they're retiring Coughlin's thing. They're putting him up in the Ring of Honor next year.
Oh, it's about time. I'm surprised he's already not.
Remember when he came back and they drafted Jalen Ramsey? They had the successful year. They came back the next year. They weren't so successful.
Yeah.
And things kind of soured with the organization with them. So they figured they'd let enough time go by. And then bring him back over and put him up in the Ring of Honor.
Well, that's deserved. Are you going to try to go to that game?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I wonder.
Absolutely.
The Bears have a home date against Jacksonville. They would be giving up one of their home games, but it just seems like that might be the one. So we'll see, but that's the next big thing to happen, really, in the NFL. We'll have some mini camps coming up here soon, like rookie mini camp and things like that as the OTA program continues. But the schedule release, Yurko, what day did you say it was? Is it May 9th?
It's May 9th exactly, Carm. It's May 9th. I know exactly when it is. It's May 9th.
And the Bears have away games at Arizona, San Francisco, Houston, Indy, and Washington, not to mention some game being played over in London. All right, I have for you.
What do you have?
Updated total. So Caleb Williams, over under passing yards, Yurko, for his rookie season right now is at 3,500.5. Can he make it to 3,501? It is -110 on both sides of that. We're hoping for a 4,000-yard passer, and maybe that doesn't happen as a rookie, and it's rare, and I'll tell you how rare in a second. But 3,500.5, what do you think?
I would, if he can stay healthy 17 games, I'd go with the over. That's your problem. How healthy can he be? How healthy can he stay?
God, I hope very.
Because two games being gone, there's a possibility of derailment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm talking about 207 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're talking
about.
That's
all you're talking. It's not crazy.
207 yards a game. It's not crazy at all. So I would lean toward the over there.
I would too.
But that's totally a health play. That's what it is. Totally a health play. Do they have over under touchdowns for the
yes,
season?
Yes, they do. So, passing touchdown prop for
25 or 24.
23.5.
Yeah.
The under is where the juice is. It's -120 on the under. I'll tell you real quick here. Rookie quarterbacks in NFL history with 24 or more touchdown passes. He would have to get to 24 if you bet the over to win
right.
that bet. Do you know how many there are?
Rookies?
Rookie quarterbacks. Now, remember, Marino did not have rookie status.
Yeah.
So that Marino's not on this list, obviously.
Right, he's not.
This is rookie quarterback. Rookie status. How many quarterbacks in NFL history have at least 24 passing touchdowns?
Six.
It's five. Good guess, Yurk. The all-time leader and the only guy to ever have more than 30 is Justin Herbert in 2020. Next on the list, Big O is not going to be happy. Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
27 touchdowns as a rookie in Cleveland in 2018. Tied for third on the list is Peyton Manning
okay.
and Russell Wilson, each with 26 in 98 and 2012, respectively. And then the one that you're going to go, wow. You're going to go,
which one?
Daniel Jones. 24 in 2019, if you can believe
it. Well,
I
just looked at his stats up there. So, yeah, he did have a 24.
24
touchdown season. He's had 3,200 yard season. I was trying to see exactly where Daniel Jones was, trying to be able to judge him.
Not very good, I don't
especially
think.
If he's the guy that's going at it for the New York Giants. After we had the earlier call from Chase, who had 77 dominoes set up and wanted to knock them down, and each one had to be knocked down so we could do something in 2025. I'm like, sweet heavens, I can't figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're going to ask me to think about everything that might happen in 2025? Let's predicate it off the Bears having success. That's all I'm saying.
So only five quarterbacks in history, rookie quarterbacks, have ever had 24 more touchdown passes. Will Caleb get there? I mean, I feel like if we take the over on both these, we're really slurping up the Kool-Aid, but so be it. I don't care.
Well, the Kool-Aid's there to be slurped,
I don't care. Like, I'm too excited.
Slurp away.
I know.
Okay.
I want to say over, Yurko.
I want to say over, too.
Are punter totals on there?
That one's tough. Which one?
Are there punter totals on there?
Oh, stop it.
Kicking totals?
You bastard.
How many punting attempts are there?
Carm. I love you, Adam. I can't have any punting
totals. He's had enough.
That's awesome. That's pretty good,
HR.
Though. You got me. That was pretty good. Any punter totals? I did not look. I don't know. I think that 23.5 is a pretty realistic, solid number. Like, if you told me it was 23 and 3,800 yards, like, that's, you know, you're talking about a pretty damn good season for a rookie quarterback. Let's face it. Again, like, the C.J. Stroud year, those are kind of rare. There are only five quarterbacks that ever even have reached 4,000 yards. I don't know that Caleb will get there as a rookie. Maybe. He's got the weapons to do it, and if it all comes together for him, and like Yurko said, he's got to stay healthy for all 17 to hit that 4,000. But there's only five rookies that have ever done that, Yurk. It's Luck, Justin Herbert, C.J. Stroud did it last year. Cam Newton did it. Cam Newton was the first guy to ever do it back in 2011. And then Jameis Winston did it with just a little over 4,000 in 2015. So, you know, you usually don't see those gaudy-type numbers from rookies. He is specifically set up better than probably most with the weapons that they have in their offensive huddle. So, I guess, you know, maybe we're being a little crazy here and we're getting out over our skis and we're being way too optimistic. But I think the over on the passing yards total is more doable than the total touchdown. That's what I would think. If you made me play one over, I would play over 3,500 yards passing.
And where's the juice on that one?
That one's minus 110 both ways.
Both ways.
Yes.
All right.
I would play that. Lay $1.10 to win.
And it's all predicated.
All he has to hit is 3,500 in 1 yard.
It's all predicated on health. Yeah. That's it. I mean, he missed three games. There's no way he's going to reach it.
Yeah, he missed three games and it'd be tough. You're right about that. Joey G's in Melrose Park. What's up, Joey?
You mean Eddie, the great Alexander, hasn't called and gave the exact pick? And how many touchdowns?
Eddie's he's on the line. We'll go to him next. I don't know.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Know. He's on the line.
Number one, I'm sitting there realizing, driving home, taking my wife to work, you know, our two wide receivers have to be double teamed.
They got three wide receivers.
No, well, Adunze and DJ Moore, if they're not double teamed, there's a completion.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an automatic. I'm going to reverse the wheels real quick. Yerk, you got your pen?
Yeah, I got my pen.
Okay, Forever Young.
Okay, this is in the Derby.
Yes, Forever Young. Japan Horse. Undefeated.
Did you just call him Japan Horse?
He's a horse from Japan.
You mean he's a Japanese? He's a Japanese horse.
Carm, you don't get the slang.
Yeah,
Yurko.
I got him from you.
I still love
he's
you, though.
He's coming out of the 11 hole.
Right. He's undefeated, and he won a Dubai $3 million race, his last race.
So he's the
and
one?
And a Japan horse has never won the Derby.
That's right.
Okay.
So right. I would use him, and then Dwayne Lucas has got a sneaker in here. Just Steele.
Six horse.
I like that name, Just Steele. If you're a Cup fan, doesn't it make you think of Justin Steele? You got to have to play it kind of, Just Steele. All right, Joey, thanks.
He's going to give you a trifecta. You blew him off.
Oh, he was? Well.
He's going to have to call back later on.
He's given a trifecta now? We're going to Joey G for trifecta.
The Kentucky Derby is this weekend.
Let's get Eddie O for the trifecta. Let's get Jim Miller.
Just Steele's finished second in three races, three out of the last four races. The one that he didn't finish second in, he finished seventh in. Okay. So that one was a little bit disappointing.
He's 20-1 right now, I'm looking at.
He is 20-1.
And then the draw's tomorrow, Yurko, is that right?
No, the draw's out. Oh, draw was yesterday between the third and fourth races at Churchill Downs.
Oh, damn, I didn't know that.
I knew it. I watched it happen.
Why did I always think they used to do it like on a Tuesday?
I don't know why you should think that it was on a Tuesday. I have no idea.
So who got a good draw? Who got screwed, don't they?
So you're out of the 17th hole is Fierceness. He's the Rapoli horse.
Yeah.
He's 5-2 morning line. He's coming out of the 17th
hole. Is that a good spot?
I think as of the years, as of late, we've come to find out that that spot's really not bad.
Okay.
The guy that got buried down on the rail is Sierra Leone.
And he's one of the favorites.
He's one of the favorites, 3-1. He's coming out of the 2 hole. Mm-hmm. Doorknock is down there. He's 20-1 coming out of the 1 hole. I can't remember the last time the 1 won.
I'll look it up this week. We always do it.
I believe...
I'll look up all the data for it.
It was Ferdinand in 1986, Willie Shoemaker on board.
Was the last time a one?
That's
one?
When I believe the last time the one won. But I could be wrong. But I'm just saying I believe, from my memory, I believe the last time the one won was 1986.
Look at you, dude.
Yeah.
I will make sure this week that we have all that relevant data.
I bet on those Japanese horses last year.
Oh, Yurko.
Let me tell you, all they did was disappoint.
Look at the good kid.
Right?
Ferdinand, 1986, was the last post number one
Who's
position.
Who's on board? Willie Shoemaker?
That I don't know.
No, that's who wrote him.
I mean, I'll trust you on that one.
That's who wrote him.
I'll trust you on that one.
So, yeah, the one has been just a death knell for anybody that gets that. And it seems like that happened for Doorknock. And then Sierra Leone is your other kind of favorite. We've seen her run.
Yeah.
You and me, we've checked her out.
Yeah. Oh, it's a female horse?
How about our buddy Brian Hanley's got... No. I'll come all she's. I call all of them she's.
Oh,
but
okay.
Sierra Leone's a male horse, the colt. Brian Hanley's got a horse running in the Pat Day.
You told me that.
Beeline.
Yeah. Good
Beeline.
For Brian.
Yeah. He announced it on Twitter this weekend. You must not follow him.
I follow Brian. I don't go on X much, but
he announced
I got to be honest with you.
I'm going to just tell you, he announced it. So he's got a horse, and it looks like it could be one of the two morning line favorites going out there. So
I mean, you're scrolling through X.
Here's your problem with Beeline. He's never ran longer than 6 furlongs. This is a 1 mile race, the Pat Day Mile, they call it. He's never been around 2 turns. In his last race, he went to the front and ran the speed of the race, and he was being caught at the wire. He still ended up winning first, but you're talking about another 2 furlongs for a mile. He's going to have to run this race differently. So we'll see if they can train the horse to run the race differently in the Pat Day Stakes.
See, nobody's dropping knowledge on the Derby like a good kid. Huh?
And punters should never be picked in the fourth round.
Eddie's on the north side.
Yeah,
what's up, Eddie?
I agree, too. But my best hit on the Kentucky Derby was Mike Smith on a 50-1 shot.
Ooh, which
and
was that?
And I just bet him because of the jockey, you know?
Which one was that? Which horse was that?
Oh, I forgot. It's been a while ago.
You remember the jockey? You don't remember the horse?
No, yeah, exactly. And then I don't know who John Velasquez is on, if he's going to be in the Derby this year, but I'll be taking him.
Okay.
But, boy, I want to run you a stat by.
All right, you want to run you a stat
by. I hate hearing this stuff with readiness. Okay, Tom Brady, 30 games in college, 30 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Montana, 27 games, 25 touchdowns, 25 interceptions. Troy Aikman, 44 games, 39 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That's 7 Super Bowls, 4 Super Bowls, and 3 Super Bowls. When are you ready? What? J.J. McCarthy's not ready because of what?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Why
sure.
wouldn't you run him out with Jefferson if he's going to be gone the next year after it? You want your rookie quarterback to get confidence and everything. You start him game one.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I do. I can't disagree with you too much, Eddie. I mean, what's the other option for them? Sam Darnold? We kind of know what Sam Darnold is. You draft a kid in the top 10, top 12. You know, you're probably going to start him. You're going to want him to play a lot. You want to see what he is made of, what he's got.
It's the new world.
It is the new world.
There are no redshirt years anymore.
I can't say I can argue with Eddie too much on that one.
By the way, Mike Smith, 2 horses he's won the Kentucky Derby on. Justify.
That was one of the favorites.
Chalky.
Yeah, Chalky.
Remember Harry's horse back in the day? Giacomo was the 50-1 shot so that he ended up winning, that Mike Smith was on board.
Giacomo. Circa 2004, I bet, right?
2005.
Farm, okay. You're on it. 05.
Well, I only remember because it was about Giacomo. The time Harry's son was born. Yeah. And his son's name is Reggie, but Yurko forever calls him Giacomo. Giacomo won the
Then
trophy.
He got a gift from New York that says, "Welcome to Giacomo."
That's so good. Any crypto clearance bloodlines?
Well, so you're looking for anything with a little candy ride in it.
A little candy ride.
Because if candy rides in the bloodlines, then you've got something. I have not gone through the Kentucky Derby list to see if we've got any candy ride in there.
It is Derby week.
Yeah.
Big week. We like betting on the Derby. It's fun. Betting on the Derby
is
fun.
It is Derby week. I'll do that analysis for you.
I know you will.
You know I like that.
This is the most horse racing talk you'll get all week. Because it is
all
the
week.
100.
All year.
All year, excuse me.
All week. This is the week.
This is the week.
It's all year.
All year. This is the week. And this is the 150th running of the Derby presented by our good friends at Woodford Reserve. So it is a big one this weekend. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Follow the show on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
We'll talk about our players of the weekend in about 30 minutes. We got a lot of guys to kick around from this weekend, my friend. Cubs end up dropping a series against the Red Sox in Boston. Now it's on to Queens to take on the Mets for a four-game series starting tonight. They got their butts kicked on Saturday. Were down early yesterday, came back to tie it, but then lost on a tough play in the ninth. That Boston team's scrappy for a team that's got no healthy players right now. The Cubs had another injury. Jordan Wicks hits the IL.
You're kidding. Oh, another pitcher?
Yeah, there's a lot of pitcher. You got two-thirds of your outfield out, but they're hanging tough. They're a half game out of first. Hanging tough. And the White Sox actually swept the series for the first time, I think, since last June. Did I read that right? I think last June was the last time the White Sox swept.
A long time.
Swept the series,
They doubled the amount of victories going into the weekend. They went from 3-6.
Yeah.
And my Cinco de Mayo is gone.
Kaput, Yurko.
Kaput. I don't know what else. I put enough together. 6-22. Almost matched their start last year of 7-20. Didn't think it'd be worse. It is. But they're on a hot streak. Maybe they maintain no momentum against Minnesota tonight. Who knows?
Yeah, Minnesota's in town. Boy, if you're Tampa, you got to feel pretty deflated when you leave and you get swept by the White Sox. I guess I didn't hear this. This was Saturday night's game. And I guess there was an odd flex.
Well, Carm, the White Sox this season, as Yurko kind of put it, we were kind of charting the weather. We were charting the dates on the calendar, seeing if this team could win enough ball games by Cinco de Mayo. We were looking at 70 degrees. Could they get to 7 by 70 degrees?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different things that have gone into this White Sox season, namely their motto of drink our campfire milkshakes.
Yes.
Right? Like that's been the number one item. But apparently they have a new slogan for this season. Have you heard this, Carl?
I have not. And I know they walked it off in extra inning. Were they in the 10th? I think they were in the 10th, weren't they? Or were they in the 9th? I can't remember.
It's a walk-off,
It's a
Carm.
Walk-off. And go ahead and play this. This was Ben Intendi's home run on Saturday. Go ahead, Chris.
Braden Shoemaker.
To all the haters.
Oh, boy.
Which hater?
Say it loud and say it proud, Carm.
It's Josh.
Oh, boy.
Schifrin.
Pronounce that again because I think you mispronounced it.
No, isn't it John?
John?
It's Schifrin.
Schifrin. What did I say?
Say it with me. Say it proud.
Didn't I say it?
Maybe I just reheard it. It's something different.
First of all, how about that crowd? They had to have a giveaway or something Saturday. How were there so
20,
many
20,000 hockey jerseys, I believe.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say there had to be some sort of a giveaway.
Sure. I don't know for sure.
That's a lot of
The best part about that call is he says it for the first time they've won two in a row.
And I'm
say
sorry.
It I, with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
So that's the and it's John haters? Schifrin. It's not Josh. Yeah, it's John Schifrin.
Yeah, for all the haters.
My bad. My bad.
Nobody hates the White Sox. They stink. Maybe you haven't been watching.
What haters is he talking about exactly?
Jeez. Reinsdorf. Also, as a White Sox fan, Carm, are you going around saying, South Side, stand up?
No.
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. South Side, stand up.
No, I've never said South Side, stand up.
Ever?
I doubt there will be.
Did he work all offseason
on
that?
For all the haters.
Is it you spend the whole offseason and that's the crap you come up with?
I mean, when you win two in a row, like, do you really flex like that?
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
For all the haters, you're the worst team in baseball. You're a team not trying. For all the haters, you're not trying.
They're the worst team in baseball.
You're promoting a milkshake.
They're one of the more irrelevant teams, unfortunately, in North American sports, period, not just in baseball. They have nothing to show for, they have very little, let's put it that way, to show for 40-plus years of ownership by Jerry Reinsdorf. They do have the glorious 05 run. That was great. You have one season to truly be proud of. You have one truly memorable season in, 44 years Jerry's owned the team, right? Give or take, 44 seasons, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
You have one out of 44. Where you could truly be proud. I don't know who he's talking to, all the haters.
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
I think he was going for like his thanks Cubs, like Benetti's thanks Cubs. Remember when Aloy hit a big home run, thanks Cubs?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he
was but the
doing.
Times were different. Like we were much more excited about the direction of the team, and Aloy was this exciting, shiny new toy. And you know the sad thing about Aloy is you realize how good of a hitter he really is when he's on the field. I mean, Aloy really can hit, you know? It's just he's barely been able to play for most of his
career.
But he really can hit. I mean, he's dangerous. But yeah, I don't know who the haters are. I can't imagine getting that excited for a win in April when it was your fifth against the Tampa Bay Rays. But he's the announcer for the team, so I guess there's... you know, I'm sure Len was pretty fired up.
You can be excited. Yeah, I think the
haters.
The going after haters and then trying to shoehorn the Southside stand up, which is not something people say.
No.
I think that's what's funny. When I saw the highlight on Saturday night, I could not stop laughing.
Yeah,
excited for the highlight. Sure, Benintendi finally doing something.
Finally. Hey.
That's fantastic.
A home run from Benintendi. Benintendi, thank you. Yeah, but like to be going after the so-called haters, you know, you don't have you don't have much ground to stand on. Let's put it that way.
That is true.
If you think people have unfairly criticized the team or are hating on the team, it's been mostly heartache for years cheering for this organization. And as I've often said, they make it pretty difficult to even do it. They make it hard. They don't make it easy. The Dodgers make it easy. The Braves make it easy. The Yankees generally make it easy. They're mostly miserable because they're in New York. But you know what I mean? Like, the Yankees are the Yankees.
Yes, they are.
The White Sox make it hard. And it takes a special kind of resolve to continue to cheer for them. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be critical of them or we shouldn't be fed up. We shouldn't voice our displeasure. I still want the White Sox to do well. I still watch a lot of their games. I watch an abnormal amount of their games considering how bad they've been the last year and a half.
Maybe John Schifrin.
It's Schifrin.
John Schifrin should just shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. That's what he should do.
Yeah.
Follow the advice of Taylor Swift and just shake it off. And not worry about it. Just give us the game.
But all right, all the haters can shut up now.
We don't need his editorializing.
6-22, so take that, haters.
Shut up.
6-22.
Shut up, haters.
For the first time, the White Sox have won two in a row.
The season's
Benintendi at the plate with Braden Shoemaker on deck. Let's go! The White Sox walk it off in the
Come on, you guys got to say it with them next time.
Oh, stand up.
It's fun, yeah.
Stand up.
Yeah, let me try it.
Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
This is going to catch on. I feel better already.
I think this is really going to catch on.
See, Yurk?
What did Stoney say?
It was a fastball, and he left it middle up, and Benintendi didn't miss it.
Middle of the plate.
Do you guys want to hear Len Casper on ESPN 1000?
I'd like to hear Len's call on your home for White Sox baseball.
Here you go. Southside, stand up. Benintendi, high and deep, right field, ball game over! Just like that, he's back.
A
two-homer night, six RBIs. Benintendi will be mobbed at home plate. What a win, 8-7 the final. That was fun, partner.
That's reasonable. That's reasonable. That's reasonable.
I think he's happy.
That's a 6-22 team. Like, that's reasonable.
I think he's happy for the players. They won't have to pay double when they go to a restaurant now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just have to pay for the normal rate.
Hey,
White Sox player, you got to pay double.
For all the haters.
No tables for you.
Here we go, guys.
I just love the idea of, like, going after the haters. I can't imagine when you're as miserable as they are that, like, it's time to go after the haters when you're 6-22.
They're going to do, anytime they wear those Southside jerseys now, it's going to be stand-up Saturdays.
I guess so. Yeah, stand-up
Saturdays.
For
all Saturdays. The haters.
Benintendi with a whopping -1 wins above replacement on the year, by the way, too. So, you know, it's the highest-priced free agent in White Sox history. So we got that going for us.
Stand up, Carmen.
Wonderful. Yep. Well, stand up. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Working from home? We're back in the office. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hey, you know, the White Sox are not last in this week's updated Fangraphs power rankings here. They're 29th. The Rockies are still last.
What about Miami?
Miami's 28th. You nailed the bottom three. The Marlins, who are 6-23 with the worst record in baseball. The White Sox are 6-22. The Rockies are 7-21. But in the power rankings, they still have the Rockies last, the White Sox 29th, and the Marlins 28th. Your Cubs are still hanging around the top 10, York. They are 8th right now. 60% chance of making the playoffs.
Beautiful.
So you feel good about that. We're a month into the season. The top spot occupied by the Atlanta Braves. At 19-7.
They're playing some good baseball.
They're excellent, York. And then the Dodgers at 18-12 are second in their power rankings, followed by the Yankees, the Phillies, and to me, the surprise in this group, but here's an organization that always just finds a way.
Cleveland Indians.
The Cleveland Guardians.
The Guardians,
they don't spend jack either.
Yeah. Guardians.
But you know what they do, and they've historically done well? Player development.
They develop their players.
Yes. Player
I like it.
Then they've got a first-time manager doing
it. I like
it.
Too,
right? So, I don't know if the Guardians will stay there, but
I thought the Minnesota Twins would be there, but they're 13-13.
They haven't been good,
and they can't play the White Sox every single weekend.
But they're here in town. We got a 6 o'clock pregame after Waddle and Sylvie.
I know how exciting they are to be playing the White Sox, but these are the red hot White Sox.
Stand
up, Carm.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up, Southside.
Stand up.
And all the haters, take that.
Right.
Matt is in Streamwood. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Carmiracle. Thanks for taking my phone call. If I may answer Chase's question, I know you asked last hour about why the Giants didn't select a quarterback. I believe the ownership group told Brian Daboll that he's not allowed to take a quarterback because if they have to fire him, they did not want to settle the new coach with a quarterback that they inherited. So basically that Brian Daboll has to win with Daniel Jones or not. But my question was to you both is regarding – I heard Lewis Riddick and Mel Kiper during draft day when Minnesota drafted J.J. McCarthy that they both said on record that that J.J. is going to the best quarterback situation of all the quarterbacks taken, that Minnesota was the best for the young quarterback because of Kevin O'Connell, because of Justin Jefferson and, you know, Jordan Addison, and then Dallas Turner now being, you know, replacing Hunter. So for me, do you guys agree with that assessment that Minnesota is the best situation for all the young quarterbacks because of their history and because of all the weapons that they do have on the offense and their offensive coach in mind?
I think it's close, Matt. I think the situation Caleb's coming to is pretty good, but Justin Jefferson's probably the best receiver in the league. I think Kevin O'Connell's a decent play caller and head coach, so That's not bad for JJ, let's put it that way. I still think the situation here for Caleb is pretty outstanding. But if you're a young quarterback, you want to end up in a situation like this. I can't
believe
you're
saying that. Who's your second receiver up there?
Jordan Addison,
yeah.
TJ Hockenson.
A first-round pick also.
They got a good left tackle.
I would say yes.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yes, it's clear.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago might be second, but I think it's clear that Minnesota's better for J.J. McCarthy.
Probably a better left tackle, the best receiver in the league, another first-rounder who had a good rookie campaign last year at their wide receiver, too. Yeah, it's a pretty good spot. All right, let's lunch rush it. Mr. Abdallah, I turn it over to you.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going swimmingly.
A lot of people love the draft. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
11.4 million people watch the draft across all of the different channels that it was on, ESPN, NFL Network, Deportes, all that stuff.
The NFL's got, everybody wrapped around its finger. Let's face it. We are very compelled to see what happens in this league. We love football, and its popularity continues to soar.
Albert Breer dug into the pick of Michael Penix Jr. by the Falcons a little bit. They did make a phone call to the Bears to move up to 9. The Bears said no, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason is that Fontenot, who is the GM there now, was in the Saints. He was a scout. He was in the front office area of the Saints when they missed out on Patrick Mahomes. And he didn't want to make that mistake again, drafting a quarterback when you have an older quarterback, even though you don't need a quarterback at the moment.
So that was their...
That was their thinking. He was like, I'm not going to make the same mistake we made when I was in New Orleans.
They called the Bears asking if the Bears would come up a spot?
No. They wanted to move to the... They called a bunch of teams. They called the Patriots. They called the Cardinals. They called the Bears. Everybody said no. And then eventually they moved up.
The Bears, the Falcons.
No, they moved. They wanted to move up. Move up.
I'm sorry. I was sort of thinking about not.
They wanted to go to
one.
Wait a minute. They wanted to go to one to take Penix?
They wanted to move up. They were going to move up, according to what Albert Breer wrote in his Monday Morning Quarterback or his SI.com article.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah.
Because
See, they didn't trust him. Whatever team was talking to him didn't trust him to take Penix.
No,
we're not going to 8. We won't get a quarterback at 8. What do you think? Somebody was going to take Penix?
I don't know, man.
Wow. I mean, there's a guy that's more delusional than Ryan Pace was.
And very confusing pick still to me. And I don't know why you execute your offseason the way you did if all along you were high on a quarterback and your GM said, we don't want to miss on a generational quarterback. Why not sign Gardner Minshew? Why not acquire Sam Darnold? Why not find one? How many average quarterbacks traded places in teams this year? Why not make a trade? Look what the Pittsburgh ended up giving for Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not do any one of those things without spending $100 million on Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
It is very bizarre.
It is bizarre.
They want their guy the future, I guess, because my next story, if we go to a true, I'll call him a sicko. I call him a victim for punishment, I guess. Nate Tice, the Mike Tice's son who contributes to Yahoo Sports, already put out his 2025 big board.
Oh, my God.
And there is not a quarterback until the 20th spot.
Wow. But
he
again,
19 players as of right now. And it's not who you think.
It's not Shadur.
It's not Shadur.
Is it Drew Allar?
Nope.
Is it Beck?
Nope.
Who am I forgetting?
Quinn Ewers?
Quinn Ewers?
Nope. It is Riley Leonard, Notre Dame quarterback.
Wow.
Good boy.
Oh, wow. You know how it's going to go, though, guys. I promise you, in the top 19, there's going to be a couple of quarterbacks next year.
Of course there will be.
It's crazy the way the hype machine goes.
But it just shows like how good this class was
and
how crappy next year's class is.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, he's got, and for defensive ends and defensive tackles, if the Bears need to take one next year with their first round pick, there are a plenty.
All right, that's
in
good.
The first 20.
I love how he's already got his big board for next
year.
Hey,
man. Woo. Some people are crazy like that.
Glutton for punishment.
There will be a new face on Monday Night Football.
Who?
Travis Kelce. Not Travis Kelce.
No,
the other
Jason Kelce.
Yeah. Jason Kelce.
He has to drink like a 12-pack when he's on.
He's
mandatory 12.
He'll be on Monday Night Countdown.
He's very
on ESPN.
He's very entertaining, great personality. So, all right, you know, how many people can they put on that set? Does somebody leave it? Or
not enough.
They just add another body to it? Yeah. They're trying to do what Fox
is doing. The table just expands, and then the camera pushes back.
They've got Leafs underneath the Leafs, where'd you guys keep the Leafs?
Underneath the table.
No, where'd you keep them, though?
Well, there was a spot like
you can keep them under the table.
My parents' house had the Leaf, had like a little compartment underneath for the Leaf.
We had the Leaf under the table, and then we also had the extra Leaf that would go like under the bed somewhere.
Right.
Under
mine's under my bed.
Then you'd have to go and get that. Oh, it's Thanksgiving. Got to go get the extra. That's what they're
doing. Double Leaf. Yeah. I guess just keep expanding the table. All right.
They got a lot of Leafs on that table.
Okay.
This went under the radar a little bit, obviously, because of the draft and other things, but MLB and Nike have basically admitted that they screwed up.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
And new uniforms are coming, but not fast enough. They won't be here till next year.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, in 2025.
So you're stuck with this year's version. They, you know, the sweat spots and they're see-through and the letters are still bizarrely small in the back.
It hadn't even gotten hot yet.
Yeah.
The quote was that they were trying to innovate something that did not need to be innovated.
Hmm. I mean, they spent a lot of money on all this R&D, and like that's what you come up with, and you're scrapping it after a year. Ah, poor baseball.
Somebody needs to be fired.
Meantime, 11 million people are watching the NFL's draft, for crying out loud.
And Major League Baseball, in that article, said they make $44 million off of the sale last year, off of jersey sales
last year.
$44 million.
Pretty good.
I wonder how many people are buying jerseys this year.
With the goofy letters? I don't know. It is goofy.
And then Ezekiel Elliott re-signed with the Cowboys.
Back to Dallas.
One-year deal with the Cowboys.
On a one-year deal. Okay.
And I don't know why this keeps coming up, but Jerod Mayo was asked again about Tom Brady coming back.
Oh, coming back.
Why are people still asking the Patriots questions about if Tom Brady's going to come back?
They drafted two quarterbacks, for crying out loud. They got Jacoby Brissett and two rookies. So, they want to add Tom Brady. Tom Brady, maybe because when he was in the barber chair, he sort of hinted at like, you know, maybe there's a situation that might be right.
Okay.
Where I could possibly go back. Tom, it's all right.
Enough already.
Yeah, Tom.
Enough.
You know, you did it all, Tom.
So go in the booth like you said you were.
Tap out.
You know. Thrill us with your thoughts and your acumen.
It's all good. You did it all. You're like 47, you know. It's okay. You were awesome. You're the man. Is that the lunch rush?
Do you want more punters? Want me to name some more punters?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see. I gave you Matt Ariza.
Matt Ariza, I think.
They also drafted a punter, I believe. They signed a punter in the... they signed the kid out of BYU. Yeah, I don't know. They're doing a punter competition, I guess. That was it. I was just messing with you. I'm not going to make it. I was trying to get you to call me a bastard again.
No.
For HR purposes.
It was just funny when you snuck it in before. It was good. Not
phrasing.
Yeah, phrasing. Not good. Should I take Pat? Oh, he's mad that we're making fun of the White Sox.
Yeah, call Pat from Beverly.
He's mad that we're making fun of the White Sox. Yes, Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, this is me. What's up? How are you?
Good.
What's going on, Pat?
Good. Not much. First off, I want to thank you guys for taking my call. And I work at Sacred Heart School right there, right near Verdurley at Long Group for York.
Yeah, I know where you're at. You're over there on 96th and Exchange.
96th and Escanaba, yes, sir.
Yeah, I used to live in that corner house right there in 72.
Stop it.
I'm telling you. That two flat? The brown brick. The brown brick right there. Absolutely.
I know it well. Right there in the parking lot.
Then we moved to Calumet City after that.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay. So, Carm, I'm a little confused, man, and you guys have a great show, and it's always in a terrible time, obviously 12 to 2 during the middle of school day. But
12 to 3?
Why are you busting? Why are you busting his beans? I thought it was a great call. He's excited. He's trying to make it new for him.
Stand up.
I don't think we got a bust.
Why not?
Get a little excited.
What I don't like is like the hater thing. That's what I don't like. I don't mind the excitement.
Okay.
You're right.
Sir.
We played Len's call. Len and DJ were super charged up. I get it. The announcers should be pumped. But like, what are you calling out hater? And like, who's hate? Like, don't we have a right to be hating on this team a little bit? That's all.
No, you're right. I didn't look at it that way. You're right. I just thought you were coming at him. I'm like, you know, he's trying to. I thought Benetti gave Stone Pony softballs. Me and my dad thought he just gave Stone Pony softballs all season. And I just, you know, but you're right. The hater thing, why wouldn't we hate? We're 3-21.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pat. Thanks, buddy. Pat gets it, though, ultimately.
Yeah.
I don't really mind the enthusiasm, but the whole, like, haters, you take that, haters. Come on, man. Take that, haters. They're one of the two worst teams in the league. The championship window was open and shut in 6 seconds.
Yeah, it was quick.
We've got nothing, man.
Nothing.
It's hard for us White Sox Cubs, fans. Cubs and now we have to be told the haters
Have won that trade. Boston won that trade. Everybody that you traded with won the trade.
That's the only obnoxious part to me. It's like flexing when you're 5-22. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Let's talk about our players of the weekend. Let's talk about something important, Yurko. Put that coffee down. Players of the weekend brought to you by Marquee Sports Network. Subscribe and stream the Cubs at Marquee.com. That's Marquee.com. Crosstalk in about 35, 40 minutes. But right now, we discuss players of the weekend. Who do you fancy there, kid?
You got to turn your mic on.
Put your headphones on. Turn your mic on.
You have to go with the rest of the fellas.
Go with the guys first. And come back.
Jesus.
You want me to start?
Okay, hold on. I'll start. During the break, he comes in here and says, guys, I'm not going to lie, I'm great.
I'm great.
Guys, I'm not going to lie.
I'm great, guys.
There's a few haters out there.
I'll go first.
I did hear that.
I'm great.
I will go first.
Did you say that during the commercial break?
Yes. My player of the weekend for shooting a 50-40 and getting hot this weekend
is
John Yurkovich.
Here he comes.
Here we are.
Right here. John Yurkovich, player of the weekend. Coming at you.
Get out of here.
Right here. You said it. I said it. I'm great. Here he is. I'm the player of the weekend. This weekend.
All right. Yurko's going with himself.
Myself.
For a 40 on the back.
That's right.
Not bad. That's good. 40.
Start with a birdie on 10.
Yeah. Adam, who are you thinking?
I hope I'm not taking Chris's because we talked about it a lot this weekend because both him and I watched a ton of the draft coverage. Mm. But Nick Saban.
Oh, boy.
Is
wow. good.
So good at this.
Yeah. Get out of my brain.
So good at this.
He's
like,
good.
The natural transition from coach to have fun breaking down players. And it's not just like the players that he faced or coached, he knows everything about all of these players. And he was great. I thought he was, I watched some of Belichick. I thought he was better than Belichick because Belichick seemed to tell more stories.
Yes.
As opposed to player breakdown.
He's a storyteller.
But like Saban, if he's going to be on this game day crew every week, like this is going to be really good.
Well, like you said, Saban knows all these players too. Like the draft is tailor made for him.
But even guys that he didn't play against or scout or anything, he was breaking down players. Like he is a guy that if he's going to do a job, he's going to try to be the best at it. So I'm sure he spent hours and days studying all of these guys that he was going to have to talk about.
He's good. He's very natural on TV. He's got the personality for it. He's got the chops. He's got all that you need. So I agree with that. I thought he was very good. And he will be good on their coverage. Chris, who do you got?
Yeah, Abdallah's in my mind because if you're a true sicko for the NFL draft, you're there.
Yeah.
On day three,
yeah.
You're watching the fifth, the sixth, the seventh round, which I did. I consumed a lot of it. Oof. And so I appreciate that Abdallah said Saban. I agree 100%. But also, give a tip of the cap or a helmet sticker to Field Yates. He is outstanding at breaking down the NFL draft. Like, I was surprised. Like, we know how great he is and how awesome he is when he comes on the radio shows. But he was nailing six-round picks. He had full breakdowns. He had everything. He was giving it. It was fantastic. So for all the draft sickos out there, Saban was great. Field Yates was great. I'll also say Anthony Edwards. Fantastic. Well, and the Timberwolves sweeping out the Suns. So.
40 points.
100%.
Yeah, he was awesome last night. That dunk at the end to eliminate Durant and the Suns.
Dude, guys. So that was mine. Anthony Edwards
was second,
mine.
He was second to me in mine.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards had a sequence last night. In the fourth quarter, I'm going to do this, okay? You guys ready for this?
Yeah, I am.
I'm going to go there.
Easy. Easy.
All right?
Easy, Tiger. Easy.
I think Chris knows.
He won one playoff. Easy, Carm.
He had a sequence in the fourth quarter, Yurko. Not only that dunk that Chris was talking about, which if you didn't see it, people, I don't know how to describe it.
It was a crossover, went baseline, and he saw daylight, and he went for it.
It was so violent and explosive. It was a thing of beauty. He hit a little, got a guy in a post, got him on his back, hit a spin, turnaround, fadeaway jumper.
Reminded you of somebody?
Blocked the guy's shot on the other end.
remind you of somebody?
I'm not saying anything.
All right.
I was like,
it's pretty good.
It's freaking
like father, like son.
Like Dwayne Wade, right?
Well, yes.
Right, Carm?
Yes.
Like Dwayne young Wade. Dwayne
yes.
Wade.
Yes. Like young Flash, honestly.
Because I don't want you to do I'm what I think you were going to do.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to go young Dwayne Wade.
Young Dwayne Wade.
He's hitting mid-range jump shots, turnarounds, threes, making his free throws, getting to the line a lot. I think he had 21 trips to the line over the weekend in the two games. The dunk that Chris talked about, blocking shots. Was there ever a better guard? You know, Michael's probably certainly one of the handful of greatest defensive guards ever. But has there ever been a better guard than Dwayne Wade at blocking shots? Not probably that I've seen in my life. So, like, it was like a young Dwayne Wade. It was. And, you know, you forget that Ant's only 22. He seems a little bit older than that to me, and he's still so young. And, like, they got a long way to go. I still think there's some flaws with the Timberwolves, although they looked great. I think the opponent had something to do with it. That Suns team should be embarrassed. Durant and Booker gave it their best last. What'd they combine for, 80 points last night, those two? I mean, they had about 80 points. They did what they tried to do. That team, though, that's got some flaws. And so the matchup, I think, was good for Minnesota. I'm still not totally sold on them. There's some weird things about that team that can, you know, like at any moment, Cat could go AWOL. Who knows? But I love Anthony Edwards. Love him. And he just has the killer attitude, too. He basically has that, like, F all you. And I love that kind of stuff. The league needs it. You need players like that, and he was a star this weekend, so good for him. But boy, I tell you what, man, that Suns team, ugh. And then, did you hear what Barkley said about the Pelicans? I'll play it for you coming up. Barkley had a hilarious...
Charles had thoughts on people.
It was hilarious.
And our teams.
On the Pels kind of rolling over on Saturday night. You know, they're going to probably get eliminated tonight. We'll see. We'll see how that one goes. They could get knocked out tonight by the Thunder. I'll play. Charles is hilarious. There's nobody better than Barkley. We'll play that coming up. We got more time to recap and react to draft weekend. 312-332-3776. Crosstalking about 35 with Waddle and Sylvie. We'll be back in 2 minutes.